Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
If you want to surrender your life to God, well, there are probably no better words that say it better than this: Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a line, of course, from the Lord's Prayer, that prayer taught by Jesus. Albert Haas is the author of a book about that prayer, and he joins us again tonight on Open House in the fourth of our series on the Lord's Prayer. Tonight, unpacking the true meaning of those six words: Your kingdom come, your will be done. Try to explore what might happen when we pray them. Albert, good evening. Thanks again for joining us on Open House.
Good evening, Lee. It's great to be down under with y'all.
Terrific. Albert, I want to find out what it really means when we say, Your kingdom come. Can you explain in your words what God's kingdom is? How would you define it?
Sure, yeah, that's easy, but it's the implications of that phrase
yes.
that we're going to talk about. But in terms of God's kingdom, you know, as I mentioned in my book, Living the Lord's Prayer, The Way of the Disciple, when God created the world, God had a great dream for this world. And it was God's dream that this world would be a place of peace, of love, and of justice. That was God's great dream for the world. And then God, as a way of blessing and being so in love with Adam and Eve, God took the entire world and gave its responsibility over to Adam and Eve. And he said, you know, I love you so much. I'm giving you the world. I just ask that you preserve this world as a paradise, as a Garden of Eden, that you keep this world a place of peace, of love, and of justice. And as we know, Adam and Eve did that for a while, but then one day, you know, they were kind of feeling themselves and kind of feeling their wild oats, and they ended up doing their own will. And that's when everything gets knocked out of whack, and it's like all of a sudden God's dream becomes a memory. And then God continually raises up prophets, reminding the chosen people that the way the world is not the way God intended it, that God intended it to be a place of peace and of love and of justice. And unfortunately, the chosen people sometimes responded, but then they always would get sidetracked. So that's when God sent Jesus to us. And in so many ways, Jesus's life, death, and resurrection is really the divine reminder of the dream. And Jesus had a special name for God's dream. He called it the kingdom. And in 29 gospel stories and comparisons, Jesus told us that this kingdom, this dream of God, is a world of peace, of love, and of justice. And so in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're calling to mind the fact that the world as it is not the way God intends for it to be. That God's great dream, what Jesus called the kingdom, God's dream for this world is a place of peace, of love, and of justice.
At the same time, when we pray that your kingdom come, it might also be one of those prayers where you should be careful what you pray for. What are we really asking God to do?
Oh, wow.
The implications, as you say.
This is what, you know, we all get kind of misty-eyed when we say, Thy kingdom come. But I think the major implication is when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are in effect saying, My kingdom has to go, you know? And
ouch.
I think that's the great mistake. That's the great mistake we oftentimes miss, that we forget. The kingdom of God, God's great dream for us, does not just plop down upon us out of the sky, that it only emerges as we are willing to die to ourselves and to begin to build a place of peace, of love, and of justice. Mm. You know, when you talk about the ego, E-G-O, you know, the ego is that thing in ourselves that eases God out. E-G-O.
That's clever.
And that's the whole role of the ego, is to constantly put myself in the place where God is. And when I pray, Thy kingdom come, what I'm in effect saying is that I have to get rid of this ego so that God and what God wants to do for my life and for this world can happen.
Albert, for some people, the answer to this prayer, this particular part of the prayer, might be working in an obvious kind of ministry, working in a church or Christian charity or whatever. But it's important to note, I think, that we can see God's kingdom coming in the secular world as well, whether we're a builder, banker, teacher, businessman, mum or dad?
Oh, absolutely. If I gave the impression that you only had to be in some kind of religious ministry to build the kingdom, that's just wrong. Because yes. I think, in point of fact, as you say, the kingdom has to be established in all areas of society. And so that is why, whether you're a mother, whether you're a banker, whether you're an economist, whether you're a teacher in a university, in all those areas, I am challenged to ask myself, how can I build the kingdom of peace and love and justice right here where I am? And I do that in exactly the job that I have right now. All of us are called to holiness. All of us, as St. Paul reminds us, we are all co-workers for the kingdom. And that means no matter what you're doing, you have the responsibility of bringing peace, love, and justice to your little piece of the world.
It's a great point to make. Albert, so that's your kingdom come. Next phrase, your will be done. Again, perhaps a dangerous prayer when Jesus included those words in the Lord's Prayer. What do you think he wanted to teach us?
Oh, well, I think in so many ways, I like to think of thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as really two kind of aspects of the same thing. When we pray, thy will be done, we are in effect acknowledging that God's great will for us is that this kingdom be established. And in a practical way, I oftentimes like to remind people that God's greatest desire for each one of us, God's deepest will for every single person on this planet, is to recognize the fact that I am loved unconditionally by God. Because I think, you know, Lee, as I mentioned in the book, Living the Lord's Prayer, The Way of the Disciple, I think one of the great, great tragedies of contemporary life is that most people, and I dare say it, but it's true, even us Catholic priests, we have a tendency to water down the unconditional part of God's love. And we kind of like to think that we have the corner on the market of God's love, and that, you know, as long as you're doing this, doing that, then you're kind of living in God's will. And the fact of the matter is, I think God's major will for all of us is just to know that each one of us is the beloved of God, that each yes. one of us is loved. And I think one of the great tragedies is most of us go moping around every day, and we have our 9-to-5 jobs, and we mope around simply because that great desire of God, that we all know that we are loved unconditionally, that desire of God just doesn't always get satisfied.
I've said it before in our series, what a wonderful perspective to begin the coming week to talk about these kind of things on Sunday night. Albert, when we ask for God and his will to be done in our lives, it does follow, though, that we should try to conform our decisions in our part of this deal to reflect that will.
If there's any one of the great insights that someone gave me that I stole and that I put in my book is, when you think about it, all the frustration in my life is self-imposed. My frustration in life is not caused by the spouse. It's not caused by the kids, the grandkids, or the boss. All frustration in my life is caused by myself, by my need to be in control, by my need to manipulate events in life. And one of the great challenges in spiritual formation and in the spiritual life is learning to surrender what you just called conforming to God's will, that every moment of my life, God is trying to give me something. Every moment of my life, God is asking something of me. And whenever I feel tension or stress or frustration, that's a good little sign. I am fighting against, I am resisting God. You know, we see this in the Gospel of Luke, don't we? There is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Gospel of Luke, we hear that Jesus' sweat became like drops of blood. He's fighting against the present moment, so much so that we hear him say, not my will. But then he catches himself and he says, no, not my will, yours be done. You know, it's that wonderful idea of surrendering to the present moment. Because really, this action of surrendering and accepting whatever God wants to give me in the present moment, that is really the highway to inner peace.
Yes.
And the reason why you and I don't always experience it is because we fight against God's will through our controlling, manipulative behavior.
Albert, can I begin to wrap up by dealing with two practical matters? First,
yes.
When it comes to making decisions that reflect God's will, different people will, of course, do this in different ways. There are no magic recipes for this, but what are some of the tips you can give us to put us in that zone?
Oh, well, no doubt about it, that when we're trying to, what's traditionally called discernment, we do have some things that are helpful, and that is we have Scripture. The Scripture really gives us blueprints to what God's desire for the world is all about. So we have Scripture, we have the example of Jesus. We also have, you know, being part of a church community, because Christianity is not something that I do alone. It's impossible to be a Christian alone. It's got to be done in community life. And so being rooted in a church community can be extraordinarily helpful. Also, having somebody who I can talk to on a spiritual level who knows me well, whether that be a pastor in a church, whether that be a spiritual director, a spiritual friend, all of those things begin to help me and kind of help me to become aware of how God might be speaking to me. And then, of course, the last and final thing is always, as I tell people, listen to your life, because your life will give you great hints as to what God is asking you to do. So listen to your life. Pray over your life. Think about what people say to you. Think about the events that occur in your life, because those are all ways that God speaks to us.
Yes. The second practical point I wanted to make is an event at a time in your own life about a sense of peace that you say came over you when you made a decision to return home to the United States after years of ministry in China. Take us through that.
Well, So there I was. I was on an airplane. I was on an airplane returning to China. I had been frustrated. By this point, the Chinese government had found out who I was, where I lived, what I was up to. They started following me. And so I knew my time in China might have to come to an end. And yet, I was fighting against it, because ever since I'm from the southern part of the United States, New Orleans, Louisiana. And as we say in New Orleans, ever since I was knee-high to a duck, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be a missionary in mainland China. So for me to think about having to leave China was a great, great source of tension and stress. And so I found myself filled with frustration. And then there's this moment, this insight came over me as I was flying back to Beijing, and I suddenly realized, you know what? It's over. It's been a great run. It's been a wonderful experience in my life, but the fact is, it's time to go home now.
Yes.
And leave. The minute I allowed myself to say that, this peace just washed over me. And I look back on that event now, and I realize that was God's will for me, and that was one moment when I was able to let go of my own will, and I allowed the will of God to enter my life, and I was filled with peace.
Albert Haas, I've just loved having our weekly chats on the Lord's Prayer. They're so lively, and yet at such depth. Thank you so much again for joining us on Open House. Albert's the author of Living the Lord's Prayer. Next week, Albert, give us this day our daily bread. Look forward to it.
Okay, see you then, Nellie.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.